Good morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us to worshiping God's word today. What we're doing today is we're celebrating this joyous and profound reflection as we honor the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're here today to proclaim the central truth of our Christian faith. So we are actually finishing off the book of Romans next week, but today we take a break to talk about the resurrection. What is the resurrection? You know, in order for something to be resurrected, it must first be dead. And unless you acknowledge your deadness, then you won't need the resurrection. But how are we dead when you say, I have a heartbeat, I have a pulse, I have life, I have breath? How is it that I'm dead? Well, since you were born, you were dead, if that makes any sense. Like, what? Is the pastor going crazy? You were dead in your sins and in your trespasses, right? And the Bible tells us that we are dead in our sins and trespasses. And today, we're going to talk about that resurrection. Resurrection is when the dead come alive. You have to be dead first to come alive in Christ. So let's talk about that. And so please stand with me as we read God's word together. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start out in verse 3 to 8. It says there, and this is the Apostle Paul, and he writes, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. This is the precious word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Let's bow our head and our hearts in prayer to our God. Abba, Father, Father God, you are holy and righteous, and you are worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Today we bring the gift of our hearts to you. We bow our hearts to you in obedience to your word. And Lord, we pray that through your word that there would be conviction of truth and knowledge and understanding and wisdom and discernment to apply these things as we walk in faith, trusting in you in all things. And Lord, I pray for those who have yet to come to know you. I pray for those who don't have a relationship with you. I pray, Father, that this would be the day of salvation for them as they hear your words. Lord, may your words cut through the heart and bring conviction, but most especially may it bring obedience. And so, Father, resurrect us today in our faith so that we may walk with you in righteousness. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please be seated. So today we gather to proclaim the truth of our Christian faith. And in this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 8, the Apostle Paul, he's delivering to the Corinthian church, these believers, he's delivering to them a foundational message of the gospel. And this is the very heart of our faith. It's not simply a historical account or a historical event or a religious doctrine. It is the bedrock or the foundation of our faith. That's what Paul is talking about here. And what do we find in that? We find in that passage, we find the truth that sets us free. That truth that sustains us. We find the promises that assure us of eternal life. And it's really, this is the conclusion of God's redemptive plan for all those who will come to faith in his Son. It's the climax of God's love story with humanity. And that's what we're seeing in these passages today. And some might say, but what if What if that's not true? What if the resurrection never happened? What if the resurrection never existed? It's just a bunch of fairy tales. Quite honestly, that was asked in that same chapter in verse 13 in 1 Corinthians. It says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It's pointless. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And what Paul is saying is that if the resurrection never happened, we are sad people. We're a sad group because we're putting our hope in something that never existed. But we read today in our opening passage, and Paul provided us a short summary of the core message of the gospel. And he's emphasizing the significance of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read that in verse 3. Christ died for our sins. And Paul here, he begins by emphasizing the foundational truth that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to the word of God, according to the Holy Bible. Christ did that. And Jesus told us in Matthew 26, verse 28, he said this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed or poured out, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. And the Greek word for remission is aphesis. Aphesis. And it means pardon. It means forgiveness. Jesus' blood was poured out for the forgiveness of sin. When he died on the cross, he was a man on a mission, and he came for that sole purpose. And again, God's word, he told us in Hebrews 9:22, he says this, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no pardon, there's no forgiveness of sin. Someone had to die for your sins. But not just anyone. That blood that was shed on the cross had to be perfect blood. And so that's what makes this so awesome. And so that was perfect blood that shed on the cross, that was poured out on the cross, so that you and I could have reconciliation with God. And so the Apostle Paul, he also wrote in Acts 10:43. He said this in Acts 10:43. He said, to him, and who's him? Jesus Christ. To him, all the prophets witnessed that. Through his name, whose name? Jesus' name. Whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, will receive remissions of sin. Receive pardon, receive forgiveness of sin. And so, Paul also wrote in Romans 3:24, he said this, being justified freely by his grace. What is God's grace? I want to take a moment to slow down a bit here. God's grace is his unmerited favor. What does that mean? Unmerited favor, it means you cannot work for it. You cannot earn it, nor do you deserve it. It is God's unmerited favor towards an undeserving sinner. Do you deserve God's grace? Absolutely not. But he gives it abundantly. And where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And so that is what God gave us, being freely justified by his grace through the redemption. And redemption, what are we talking about there? We're talking about justification. We're talking about deliverance. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. And then in verse 25 of that verse, it says, whom God set forth as a propitiation, a ransom, a sacrifice by his blood through faith. How do we get that? Through faith. And the Bible tells us this, that without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. And so through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, that's God's righteousness, because in his forbearance, in God's patience, in his long suffering, in his tolerance, in his self-control, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is so wonderful that we celebrate resurrection because Jesus made the way. And what Paul is doing here, he's highlighting the atoning or the compensating work of Jesus on the cross. He says, according to the scripture. What is scripture? Scripture is truth. Scripture is truth, and truth sets us free. And so this is important for us to know. And what Paul is saying, he's saying that Jesus Christ, he paid in full the penalty for humanity's sin. And he provided a way of reconciliation, a way of resolution, a way of reunion with God. Also in the scripture, if you look at the Bible, I'm going to let the Bible do a lot of talking today, right? I think you want to hear from God's word. The scripture tells us in John 3:15, it says that whoever believes in him, who is him? Jesus Christ, should not perish but have eternal life. That means you're going to heaven. You're not going to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I love verse 17. We should never stop at verse 16. 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But what are we being saved from again? What are we being saved from? And again, people say, I don't need saving. I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. But not according to the word of God. Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned. And if I would look at this room today and I would say all means 100%. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, do you fall into this category? And if your answer is no, you don't need the resurrection. Because you know what? You're like the one that died on the cross. You are perfect. You are sinless. But the word is true. All have sinned. There are no exceptions to the word of God. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Amen? It's the truth that sets us free. And what does it mean when we are saved from our sins? Again, according to scripture, Gabe talked about that a little bit this morning. You know, death has a sting. It bites. It pinches. It cuts. It hurts. And death has a sting. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 through 57, it tells us that. It tells us something that is promising. It says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, that's hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Now, what is the law? when we refer to the law and the word of God, we're referring to the Ten Commandments. And most of us have mastered the Ten Commandments, would you say? We've all broken it. We're masters at breaking the Ten Commandments. But some of you might say, well, I'm not that bad, Avery. I've only broken one of the Ten Commandments. I'm going to tell you this. Here's this sad news is this. God's standard is holy and it's righteous and it's pure and it's truth. And he says, you've broken one commandment. You know how many you've broken? All. Because there's not, in God's eyes, there's not, I'm almost righteous or I'm almost wicked. You are either righteous or you are wicked. And that's the truth. And the truth, again, sets us free. The truth will get us to deal with the sin that's in our life. But if we never come to the truth, we will never work. We will never believe. We will never trust God. And we'll always try to do things ourselves. But verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says this. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have victory, sweet victory in Jesus. Just like the song. Sweet victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me. Amen. With what? His precious blood. Sweet victory. Romans 6:23 tells us this. You know what? There's a payment. There's a compensation that comes your way for your sins. And it tells us, for the wages of sin in Romans 6:23 is death. That payment is coming. Payday always comes. There's not going to be a pay less payday when it comes to the righteousness of God. When it comes to the judgment of God, it's going to be full payment. And the payment, the wages of sin is death. That's what you earned. But let me tell you about that death. So if Christ really came and he died, then why do people still die? He's not talking about physical death here. The Bible is talking about eternal death. There's two types. Yeah, there's death in the flesh when this decays and dies and goes away. But there's spiritual death. And spiritual death is when you are eternally separated from God. When you're taken out of his presence forever. And I need you to know this. You know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That everlasting life is the antithesis to, or the opposite of, everlasting death. You're either with God forever or you're without God forever. And guess what's in between? Nothing. Nothing is in between. And that's the truth. You can't find it in the Word of God. And if you put your hope in the in-between, right, then that's a hopeless hope. So it says, for the wages of sin is death. But I love this word, but. Now listen to this and listen very carefully. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now let me tell you something. When you get a gift, how much did you pay for your gift? Once you try to pay one single red cent for that gift, you cheapen the gift. You cannot pay for this gift. God is giving it, and he's giving it freely, and he's giving it abundantly. You understand that? He's giving it freely, and he's giving it abundantly. You can't pay for it. Because the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's why Jesus' death and his resurrection are so important to us who truly put our faith in that. As we read in verse 4 of our opening passage today, he was buried, and you don't get buried alive. He was buried because he was dead. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. See, the scriptures, the Bible, is a history book. A history book. It's his story. And he tells it, and he documented everything that went on. And so Paul he affirms this historical reality of Jesus' burial and his resurrection. And that resurrection, that is a central tenet. That is a central belief of our Christian faith. If you don't believe in the resurrection, if you don't believe it ever happened, that is our hope. And if you don't believe in that, you're doomed. The resurrection, that's a central tenet, a central belief. Because you know what it does? The resurrection, it demonstrates victory over sin and death. And it provides us hope that we too will be resurrected. You know, when sin entered through Adam, that brought eternal death. So sin has an origin. Death has an origin, sorry. It's sin. When sin entered, death entered God's creation. You know, when sin was absent, everything would live forever. But sin came. And how did sin come? Because Adam was disobedient to God. He didn't follow him and what he told him to do. And so when sin entered the world through Adam, that brought eternal death, eternal separation from God. But when he rose from the grave, that brought eternal life with God in heaven. And the scripture tells us in John 10:10, it says, he talks about the devil. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's Satan. That's the devil. But what did Jesus say? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, how many of you have been in an algebra class? If you're in high school or maybe even middle school, you had algebra, right? You know, there's two parts of the equation. One is the formula and the other one is the answer. But did you know if you get the answer right, the formula wrong, the answer is wrong? You don't get a score on that. You don't get a plus, you get a minus, right? And so this is so important. The formula is just as important as the answer. They work together. And there's only one perfect formula in God's eyes. And that brings you to truth. And it brings you to the not just the right answer, but the truth. Where we find truth and righteousness. Because if you're looking somewhere else for this answer, you may come up with the same answer, but your methodology or your formula is wrong. Because I want to talk about that because Jesus said this. He said in John 14:6, he says this. Jesus said to him, he's talking to the disciples, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And if I, just like I mentioned, all have sinned. When he says no one, that means all of us. None of us can come to God but through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not a liar. He's God in the flesh. He's truth. He's perfect. He's righteous. And he's saying, I am the only way. I am the only truth. And I am the only abundant life. And none of you can go to the Father in heaven but through me. That's God's exclusive formula for redemption. And it's found in the resurrection. And that's found also in Christ. Now, you get this formula wrong, you miss the resurrection. Now, if you think you found another way, say, I got another way, another formula. Well, you know what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do is I see God's formula, but let me just add to that equation or that formula. Like, how would you add to that? Well, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be kind. You should be all those things. In fact, if you weren't that before coming to Christ, he's going to wash you clean and make you that way. But it's not through those things that God is pleased. It's faith. Because if you thought you found the right formula, and if you thought you found another way, all you did was you did find another way. You know what that way is called? The wrong way. And that wrong way will just lead you further and further and further away from the truth and further away from Christ. But God loves you so much that he has revealed that plan already in his word. You don't have to add to his plan. You don't have to add to his formula. You just need to receive that formula. And so we read in verse 5, Paul says, we know that this resurrection is true. How? Because he's been seen by various individuals. And Paul lists several eyewitnesses who encountered the risen Christ. He talks about Cephas or Peter, the apostle. The 12 apostles, like Avery, I thought there was only 11 because Judas was the son of perdition. Yeah, but he was replaced by who? Remember the name? Matthias. Right? So there was 12. He was seen by the 12. And not only by 12, 500 people, 500 believers at one time. Let me just say this. You know what's really key here in this scripture? He revealed himself to 500 believers. Not to 500 unbelievers. He revealed himself to 500 believers at one time. James, the apostle, and all the apostles. James, and it says all the apostles. This is probably talking about James, Jesus' younger brother. And these eyewitness accounts, they serve as evidence of the reality of the resurrection and the credibility of Jesus, which we put our hope in our Christian faith. And so we also see in this verses here from 5 to 8, we saw that Paul's own personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And so Paul, he describes the eyewitness testimonies of those who encountered the risen Christ. And he talks about his personal experience. Now, what was Paul before coming to Christ? He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew. He was a teacher of the law, the Jewish law. But not only that, he killed Christians. He didn't want them to follow Jesus Christ. But when his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, that transformed him into one of the most prominent apostles and proclaimers of the gospel. You know, that's what true faith does to a person. True faith transforms and grows you more and more each day into the image of Christ. That God is not a liar and God is not slack. Each day it'll change you. But in addition, the big thing about it is that to that transformation is you can expect the newness of the abundance of life. Life everlasting. I love, one of my favorite verses is in 1 John 5:11. And it says in 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. He's given us heaven. And this life is in who? His Son. Who is His Son? Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. He who does not have the Son, and you know what this implies? There's some people that have Jesus, and there's some people that don't have Jesus. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And it says, the Apostle John says, these things we have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Hope? That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You know, today, you can know if you have eternal life by simply asking this question. Do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? Do you have the Son of God? Well, how do you get the Son of God, Avery? Well, you don't have to figure it all out because God's word will help us do that. Because we learn in John 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, who's him? Jesus Christ. To them he gave them the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. with those who believe in Jesus Christ's name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And what that verse is telling us is this: you can't save yourself. It can't be by your own will. It has to be through some supernatural intervening force, and that is the Holy Spirit. And so you can't save yourself. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. And so this is so important for us to know this. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, when the good news of salvation has come, one must respond to it. And you know how we respond to it. Well, Avery, you don't have to do anything. Well, you don't have to do anything physically. It's receiving Jesus Christ is believing it. Did you do anything by believing? No, you believed. I trust it. I trust in God's word, that what he says is true. And I trust that if I believe in Jesus Christ, I will be saved. I will have salvation. And so that's so important. And Romans tells us this. Here it is in Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God did what? Raise him from the dead. That God resurrected Jesus Christ. You will be saved. Not you might be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him in Jesus Christ will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, are you looking for the resurrection? Are you wanting the resurrection? Do you know that there's two resurrections? I should talk about that real quick as the Holy Spirit leads. There is the resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto death. And there are two judgments that are coming. The judgment seat of Christ, when those who believe in him will rise and go. And that at the judgment seat of Christ, that's an awards banquet. And then there's the great white throne judgment. That is not an awards banquet. That is a condemnation ceremony where the book of life is open. And if your name is not found in that book of life, you'll be cast into hell with Satan and the rest of his demons. So there are two resurrections, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of death. And so today, you're receiving a lot of truth, a lot of meat. And so the resurrection, it is the core, it is the foundation, it's the bedrock of what we believe in, and what we put our hope in when we trust in Christ. And I'm going to again say this, it's a belief that will turn your life around. And what do I mean by that? Right now, you're heading down this path of sin. And you may not think anything of it. And because you think that God is love and God is mercy and God is grace. And you are so true. That is one part of that's your God that you made up. But the whole God of the Bible is this. God is mercy, he is truth, he's love, but he's righteous, he's holy, he's judge, and he hates sin. He did not nail his son on the cross. He did not let his son die on the cross. So that you can sin some more. The Apostle Paul asked the question, shall we sin more that grace may abound? And he says, certainly not. Absolutely not. But when you truly receive Christ in faith and to trust in him, he circumcises your heart. He circumcises your walk. He circumcises your will. You are not the same person that you were before you came to know him. But as we come to a close of our time today, we should reflect on these profound truths that we've uncovered in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because the apostle, he's delivering a message that is both simple and profound. He's delivering the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's reminding these Corinthians of the essential elements of the gospel message. Christ's death for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection on the third day, according to Scripture. So these things should remind us that the gospel is not just a set of beliefs or doctrines. It's a powerful message that has the ability to transform. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the power of God to save you. And this is a message rooted in historical events. And so we need to be mindful of that. The resurrection, it stands as the cornerstone of our faith. It holds everything together. It's the foundation that we build our lives, we build our hope, we build our future. And without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. What I'm preaching today would be futile, hopeless, and our hope will be quashed. It'll be extinguished. So we thank God for the resurrection. We thank God for making dead things come alive. We thank him for that. And this is a reality that continues to impact our lives today. And it happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, we celebrate newness of life in Christ. We celebrate and we honor our Lord Jesus Christ for sacrificing himself. And we are so sorry for our sins. And for you, if you don't know Jesus, if you're yet to have a relationship with him, it's not a difficult thing. You have to acknowledge that you are dead in your sins and trespasses. You're dead in those things already. It's not one thing, you need not only acknowledge it in your mind and in your heart. When you insult and assault a holy and righteous God, you should say, forgive me of my sins. Have mercy on my soul. And like the scriptures that we've been talking about today, to believe in the life and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To believe that. I believe that you rose again. And his ascension into heaven, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And that makes a lot of sense. Raise your hand if that makes a lot of sense. So, and here's the final thing. Once you acknowledged all of that, to commit your life to him. And that commitment doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. Christians are not perfect people. We are forgiven. That's what we are. We have God's mercy and we have his grace. It's not that you're going to be sinless, but it will mean that you sin less because you love the one who died for you. And when Jesus died, he said, go and sin no more. But he's made a way back for us. And he said, as long as we are willing to confess our sins to God, God, right? Not man. Confess our sins to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Does that make sense? Raise your hand. Now the question is, when do you want to do that? If you've not done that yet, when do you want to do that? I'll close with that. Because, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. And this life is a vapor. And what it means by it's a vapor, it's very short. It comes and it goes quickly in comparison to eternity. So if you've not done that yet, you know, I pray for you. I pray that your heart gets convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would want to make that change, that you want to make that move and not be on the fence, because Satan owns the fence. Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. There's two sides, righteous and wicked. Choose by the truth that sets us free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time together in your word. We're so thankful for the resurrection, our hope in Christ. Lord, we're so sorry for the sins that we commit against you. We're so sorry that while we were still sinners, Christ had to die for our sins. And Lord, you tell us that there's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for a friend. And Lord, we thank you for that precious sacrifice. Help us to never take for granted your grace and your mercy. Help us to walk in faith. Help us to surrender our lives to you. And Lord, we pray that whatever's left of this life on earth, take it and use it for your glory. And Father, I pray for Israel as she comes to mind. Your chosen nation, your chosen people. Although Israel is very stiff-necked at this time, Lord, I know in your perfect time, in your perfect will, that she will come to know you as you promised in your word. So we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for this time of worship in your word, in song, in praise. Have your way with us, Father, we pray, as we go from this place. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.